It is a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row. We've had him in our studio. We've had him via phone. Jason Fryer, the co-owner of the Chattanooga Lookouts and the CEO of Hardball Capital. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me.
I know this sounds like a Captain Obvious question here, but I do have to ask just right out of the gate, how tough has this experience been for you? I mean, you've got teams in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Columbia, South Carolina, here in Chattanooga. You've got hundreds and hundreds of employees who are not working right now.
Yeah, well, thankfully, most of them are still working. You know, we've kept everybody employed, and we're figuring out ways between technology and, you know, phone calls and things like that to be as productive as possible. You know, we're trying to keep our social media up to date. We're trying to be reaching out to our fans and our partners. But, yeah, it's been tough. I mean, if you think about it, we are probably, as a minor league baseball team, the type of business most impacted by this. You know, we are location-based, right? We only we're really only operating when we're able to put large numbers of people into one place, which right now is, you know, the worst thing we could possibly do for everyone's health. And second of all, you know, we're seasonal. So as we see days of our season tick away, we really don't get those back. You know, other location-based businesses like a movie theater or a concert hall, if, you know, for them, if they reopen in November, they reopen and can just resume normal business. Whereas for us, you know, if we don't, you know, we only get to play games through August or September. And once that time is done, we don't get to play again until next April.
Right. Jason, the biggest story, of course, in baseball over the last 24 hours has been this ESPN's Jeff Passan report that talked about the possibility of teams playing in the Phoenix area, whether that's late May, June 1st. It would be done without fans. I know Major League Baseball came out today with a statement in response to that saying that's one of our options, but that we have not focused or not settled on that option. Of course, something like that, it seems interesting because it sounds like something could happen sooner than later, but none of these options right now include minor league baseball. I mean, realistically speaking, and I know this sounds tough, but is it less than a 50-50 shot that the Lookouts play this season?
You know, honestly, it's almost impossible to handicap. I mean, I think you are correct that Major League Baseball will start first. And the reason they will start first is because it makes sense for them to play in front of no fans, right? So, you know, those games are televised to millions of people, and therefore, to put the games on, even if you can't put thousands of people in the ballpark, still makes sense. For us, you know, our games are not, for the most part, most minor league teams' games are not broadly televised. And even those that are, we understand, don't have, you know, an enormous amount of people watching. So the main reason for us to play our games is for the fans who come to the ballpark. So, you know, if you think about it logically, there is going to be a time where people say, yes, it is safe to play with, you know, the 60 or 80 or 100 people you need in a venue to have both teams, umpires, you know, film camera crew, et cetera. But it's not yet sensible to put, you know, 5, 10, or in the case of Major League Baseball, you know, 30,000 or 40,000 people into a venue. So it just makes sense if you will play in front of an empty stadium, you'll be able to do that before you'll be able to play in front of a full one. But for, you know, whether or not there's going to be a minor league season, you know, the predictions on how this virus will progress are all over the map. You know, what I have been tracking mostly is what I think, you know, if you watch a lot of the politicians and a lot of the academics, what they've been citing to is the healthdata.org, which is a University of Washington Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. And, you know, it's funded by the Gates Foundation, among others. And if you look at that, they are showing the number of deaths per day nationally being, you know, down below 100 before we get into June at this point. So if that's the case, there is still a chance certainly that we could play, you know, July, August, and we think that our season might even be able to be extended through most of September, let's say. So that is right now what we are planning for and hoping for. We are planning, expecting to play, something like a half of a season, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But, so much of this depends not just on, right now we have predictions all over the place. But part of the reason is because you're dealing with, what are human beings going to do in response to this? Are people going to be responsible about things like social distancing and, stay at home orders? And when things start to look better, are people going to jump out too soon and, cause this to rebound in a negative way? So, trying to predict how people are going to behave is an extraordinarily difficult thing. So you have both the virus and then behavior that will affect the spread of the virus, both of which no one can do any more than guess at.
Jason, obviously one of the biggest stories out there before this all came through as it regards to the lookouts, and we kept a hotline to one another through text and everything, was the contraction situation. And I know this kind of sounds weird if you can follow me here, but given, and we don't know if the Chattanooga lookouts are still on that list. We know they were on the original list, but I keep reading, Jason, that some of these minor league, smaller minor league teams, like teams in the Appalachian League, are going to not survive. There are a whole bunch of teams that may have to shutter for good because they're going to go like 19 months without opening their gates potentially. Could that actually help Chattanooga in this contraction conversation? I mean, it seems like everything I read that contraction is likely because of the financial status some of these teams are going to have to face. But because Chattanooga might be in a better shape than some of these lower level teams, does that actually help the lookouts in the contraction conversation?
Sure. I'll say two things. I think, team in Chattanooga is not likely to and certainly should not be contracted, and that's because of the kinds of things that you and I have discussed before, which is what a fabulous market we have in Chattanooga, how well we fit into the geographical footprint of the Southern League, the history of baseball in Chattanooga, the support we get from our fans, all sorts of things like that. I think that I have seen the same sort of speculation you have about some of these smaller teams having a hard time getting through, losing a big portion of a season or potentially even an entire season. I think from an outsider's perspective, that makes some sense. But when you start to really think about it as an insider, I think it's actually, something counterintuitive is true, which is that in a lot of ways, this shutdown hurts more successful teams more than it does the less successful ones. To start, if you're not a very successful team, you're not putting a lot of fans in the gate. You're not generating all that much revenue during your season, which means you're not losing all that much revenue by having the season shut down. If you are a hypothetical team that is selling out all of its games, you're losing a ton of revenue. And that matters because all of us scale our businesses to what we expect the fan demand to be. So the more successful teams have more people on staff. We've invested more money into our ballparks and into capital improvements. But to give you an idea, bad timing, our team in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we invested over $2 million into the ballpark this offseason. Obviously it's going to be quite a while until we see a return on that, given the way things are going now. Also teams like you mentioned the Appalachian League, they generally only play, they play a short season anyway. They don't start until late June. So for them, as April and May tick away, they really haven't lost anything, whereas full season teams have. So in a lot of ways, I think the smaller and less successful teams will be less impacted by being shut down than the most successful teams will be.
Interesting. You're listening to Jason.
Obviously, that's not a really good argument for then going and contracting the most successful teams and saving the least successful. So I don't think the virus situation cuts in the same direction as the rationales if you had to choose teams to contract. And obviously, we're still hoping that there isn't any contraction at all.
You're listening to Jason Fryer, the co-owner of the Chattanooga Lookouts and the CEO of Hardball Capital. You're listening to Jason here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Now, Jason, thanks again for taking the time. In terms of the contraction, a lot of talk was bandied about public money and a new ballpark and a new facility, in those terms, any thought of spending public money in these economic times when it's being earmarked for so many different things that none of us could have imagined 3 months ago, I don't even know what that does to your conversations or anything that you guys would forecast or project in terms of new stadium construction.
Yeah. I mean, this is, we've obviously been through recessions and things like that. I mean, we built our ballpark in Fort Wayne, was built in the teeth of a recession, but that was nothing compared to what we're facing now. You know, the recession before was one where it was affecting financial institutions, and that was rippling down through the economy. This is something where people's lives are at stake, and it is much more broad spread, right? It's not one industry that's been infecting others. It's everybody being impacted directly at once. So we really have, like you guys, we have no idea what the world is going to look like on the other side of this. Right now we're just trying to prepare ourselves best for the hope of playing in, sometime this summer. And if at some point that becomes impossible, then we will readjust and look to be playing, as soon as we can thereafter.
Is it possible to think back 6 weeks ago? And I know you were probably so tired of hearing about the stadium question and all the things that went along with that. But does that feel like, do you long for that day compared to where you are now and the unforeseen problems that are now on your desk?
Oh, look, anything is better. Well, not anything, obviously. I'm sure there are worse things that could happen. But just about anything, certainly anything I've experienced in my life, and I'm almost 50 years old. I mean, there's nothing I've seen in my life that has been as bad as this. We have people dying in massive numbers. We have lots and lots of people locked at home. I mean, you've seen the unemployment reports. The last two, I think the first one was 3.3 million. The second one was 6.6 million. And that's despite the fact that the federal government and state and local governments have taken extraordinary steps to try to help businesses. There isn't any problem that we have faced that is of the magnitude of what, our society is facing now. And it does help to put everything in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Have you and your other minor league owners, have y'all got together and talked about potential? I mean, the Jeff Passan story that came out today that David referenced earlier, I mean, that has a lot of potential rule changes and everything being on the table. Have the minor league owners got together and kicked around anything that would be interesting or hopeful? I mean, it doesn't really do you guys any good to play seven-inning doubleheaders, does it? Because it's the number of dates, not the number of games that matter to y'all, correct?
Correct. And just to be clear, the answer to your first question as to whether or not we've been, or the first part of your question as to whether or not the minor league owners have been talking, the answer is yes. I mean, I've had calls with, formal calls on a regular basis with the owners of each of the leagues we're involved in. I've also had numerous, one-off conversations or conference calls with groups of other owners. There are lots and lots of groups who are all talking all the time. The kinds of things that you're talking about are not things that we get to decide in a vacuum.
Okay.
Those are things that are decided between us and Major League Baseball. So we couldn't suddenly decide we're going to play 2 7-inning games. Our season, as you probably know, normally ends around Labor Day. But Major League Baseball regularly goes quite a bit longer. We would expect that if we are able to come back, that we would continue to play baseball, through at least, say, the end of September or thereabouts. But again, that's something that we can't decide on our own. That's something that we have to have Major League Baseball's agreement on. Same thing with any sort of rule changes, right? We couldn't decide we're going to suddenly use, robot umpires. If you've been out, I know to our ballpark plenty, and when you've been out there, you've seen the pitch clock. That was a rule that was not something that we came up with as minor league owners. That was something where Major League Baseball said, hey, ultimately we may want to do this at the big league level. We want to try it out and see how it works before debuting it on the biggest stage. So AA and AAA started having a pitch clock. So the way those things work is it's a discussion between minor and Major League Baseball, with, you know, Major League Baseball often leading those discussions because it's their players and that sort of thing. So the discussions we have had have been more about, you know, how do we interact with Major League Baseball, and, you know, how do we best position ourselves for success once we're able to play again, rather than the kinds of things that, you know, we certainly will want input on those things, but ultimately we need Major League permission to do any of the kind of things you've mentioned.
You're listening to Jason Fryer, co-owner of the Chattanooga Lookout, CEO of Hardball Capital. You're listening to Jason here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Jason, before we let you go, and I know we've been around on the block on this story as well, AT&T Field, if the Lookouts can get back to play this year, this would be the 21st season of the field. We've talked about some of the issues that you face with the direct sunlight for most of the fans and just the age of the facility. I know you came in right away, you and John Woods, and really made those luxury boxes a lot nicer, and y'all have done a lot of things. I guess this is a facility that may have to last a little bit longer than you had originally hoped, but, I mean, do you think there are another four or five viable years out of AT&T Field?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we have always known that AT&T Field, in some senses, has a, you know, an expiration date, and that there were a lot of, as you said, there are a lot of sort of unfixable problems that were built into the design of it. Unfortunately, that being said, you know, you've seen things about a potential new stadium since we acquired the team, which is 5+ years ago now. It's never anything, as you know, as I've told you personally, as well as anybody else who's asked us, it's never been anything that we were pushing or rushing on. It's not like, you know, the stadium is going to fall down tomorrow. It's not like we're not getting a 250,000 people who enjoy coming out to games there. It's more about planning for the future and being able to take things to another level. You know, we, as you referenced, we've spent well over $1 million at AT&T Field of our own money since we acquired the team, and we've put in another 100,000 or so this, maybe a couple hundred thousand this past off season. A lot of those things were geared toward, you know, the baseball side of things in response to some of these contraction issues that you mentioned, trying to make sure that we were in the best possible situation. You know, what has caused us to, you know, in our minds, accelerate the idea that we have to find a longer term solution is the contraction issue you've mentioned. You know, it's not something that we have a choice, and it's something where baseball ultimately is going to require us to have a certain level of facility. One would hope that Major League Baseball would be understanding of the fact that as you guys have both mentioned, you know, the current situation means that these sorts of things may take longer to resolve themselves than they would have absent a crisis like this. So as long as Major League Baseball is reasonable, we're not concerned about the, you know, the ability of AT&T Field to function for, you know, for a period of several more years at a minimum. But it's more about making sure, I mean, the thing that we have to be sure we don't do is lose baseball in Chattanooga over this. So, you know, we're hoping that Major League Baseball is reasonable in light of this crisis, and that we then have time to work all this out.
Jason, listen, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully the next time we talk, we're talking about minor league baseball returning to AT&T Field. So thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to seeing you out there.
Sounds great. Jason Fryer, the co-owner of the Chattanooga Lookout, CEO of Hardball Capital, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.